And I guess the question today he has for us, just as we check ourselves, which Jesus do we serve? Now, if I said, who serves the Jesus of the Bible, who'd raise their hands? Well, that's pretty close. Amen. Amen. But I want to show you a couple of things here. Thank you, guys. Awesome. The presence of the Lord is fantastic this morning. If I say, who follows Jesus Christ of the Bible, every one of us will raise our hands up. And then sometimes we wonder, okay, as long as people believe there's a Jesus, that religion must be okay. And what God will share with you briefly, this is not a study this morning on different religions. I'm just going to look at a couple of things, and then we'll step into the meat of the text today. But a lot of times we have a walk out there, a gathering called the Mormons. And I think we all heard about the Mormons, correct? Okay. And sometimes you wonder now, they believe in Jesus, so they must be the same as Christ in the Bible. And I'm telling you, again, if you are here today and you are a Mormon, I'm not bashing you because you've been taught. Amen? And it's a lot of times false religions or false
testimony.
Not really a testimony, but anything out there can have a little bit of looks like the truth, I guess. And so if I'll pick on my brother Bob a second. And Bob here's a Christian man, and I would come in as a Mormon. And we're talking. Bob said, I don't know about the Mormon faith. Oh, man, don't you believe in Jesus? Bob said, yeah, so do we. You know? I mean, we believe in Jesus. And we think, well, that is a center line, because it doesn't say that all those who believe in Jesus, all those called upon, shall be saved. Amen? And so you think, well, okay. Must be okay. But did you know in the Mormon faith, Jesus is a spirit brother of Lucifer? That's what they believe. That is what is taught. Saying that Jesus, yeah, we believe in Jesus, but he is a spirit brother of Lucifer. Okay. Anybody believe that?
No.
Okay. And if you say yes, you're not condemned, okay? Jehovah's Witness. Do you believe in Jesus? Yes, we believe in Jesus. Wow, it's awesome. I believe in Jesus too. So at least we can come together and worship together because we believe in Jesus. They believe Jesus was Michael the Archangel. Again, I'm not bashing, I'm just showing the light on the subject. And the question God has for us is, which Jesus do we truly serve? But they believe that the Jesus used to be the Michael, the Archangel, and he grew from there. Islam speak of Jesus. They believe he was just a prophet. Good man, but a prophet. Baha. They believe Jesus is simply a messenger. But then when we look at your Bible, when you want to get down to, okay, what Jesus do I serve? We look in the Word of God, and the Bible tells us that Jesus is God in human form. Now, the ones I just mentioned, did they say that? No. That Jesus can forgive sins. I just got time now. I told you new things. That Jesus Christ healed without medicine. Does that line up to Mormons, Jehovah's, Islam? No. That Jesus Christ fed thousands of people with a few fish and loaves of bread. We talked about it earlier. Jesus calmed the raging sea. That's what the Holy Bible tells us. That's what Jesus did. And Jesus claimed to be the way, the truth, and the life. Do you see things differently than what the Mormons believe? Jehovah's Witnesses believe? Islam? Can we see the differences? It's not the same Jesus. You hear me, church? He says, no man can come to the Father, no man can get to heaven except through Jesus. Through Him. Jesus claimed to be the bread of life. He's the light of the world. He's the good shepherd, the true vine, the resurrection and the life. Crucified because He claimed to be God. Put to death because He claimed to be God. But He conquered death by raising up from the grave, just like He said He would. He is Christ. He is Savior. He's King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He's God in human form. That is Jesus of the Bible. So, the question would be, again, what Jesus do we serve? Huh? We serve the Jesus you are serving. This is individually. That we are serving Jesus of the Bible.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, if you want to turn in your Bible to Matthew 22, I think we're going around verse 37. And again, you got to bear with me. Again, this I have my Bible in this thing. What I like about it is I make it font bigger and bigger. And if you ever have days where you just can't see at times, it's a blessing. So, but in Matthew 22, verse 37. Now I'll give you a little background on 34. And Jesus was talking to the Pharisees and the lawyers, all the upbeat people of the time, the people who were people in the know back in the day. He said that one of them, in verse 35 in chapter 22 of Matthew, and he said one of them was being a lawyer Jesus was speaking to, and he asked him a question, trying to test Jesus. He said, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." So this is a great and foremost commandment. The second one is like it. "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. So this is Jesus of the Bible speaking. The one that we say that we follow. And he says, you, and I'm pointing to you, I got three more fingers coming back to me. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." So the question for us today, individually, do we truly love God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind? Now what he wants us to do today, again, examine ourselves. Are we really there with them? Or maybe we are actually making, either following Jesus of a different religion that we're not familiar with. I didn't know I was really following that. Or are we making a God in our own image? And what I'm saying by that is that we're taking some attributes of God that we really like. Because I can think about this and say, "Get him, get John." But we're taking the attributes. Sorry to pick on you, brother. And we're taking the attributes or the thing that God says about us and we're casting them to the side. When we do that, we're not worshiping Jesus of the Bible. We're worshiping how we want Him to be. He says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind." So everything that we do is for God. And so are we doing that this morning? You know, check yourself. Don't answer out loud. Or don't. But he wants us to really, you know, many things in life we sit back down, am I really using this properly? Cousin Kevin told me earlier, they had a tick in their car. What did they do? They put oil in it and the tick went away, right? See, you was concerned about that tick, so you checked the dipstick, and you needed oil in it. Awesome. Well, it's the same way we do ourselves. God wants us to check our dipstick from time to time. And I know it sounds funny, but seriously, where are we at? You know what I'm saying? Because sometime in our life, things are ticking. They shouldn't be ticking, right? And so we had to stop and examine, God, am I really loving you like I should? Or is that ticking? Is that you getting a hold of me? And say, listen, we need some oil in this thing, okay? And oil is the Holy Spirit, okay? We need to get rid of this tick. If we are truly following the Jesus of the Bible, we hear that tick, we want to take care of it, amen? Now, Kevin, yesterday you guys could have done. You could have cranked up the radio and drowned out that tick. Couldn't you?
Yep.
Okay. But will the tick still be there? Will the damage that ticking is saying, listen, I need oil, I got valves, I know the valves, rods, everything else back there, okay? You could try to drown that out, but it wouldn't change anything. But you had a desire to keep that car running because that's better than walking, right? And our lives are the same way. You think, well, I don't know about my life. But hey, listen, we're going to keep our life running for the Lord, right? And so we have to examine ourselves and look at Jesus of the Bible. And says, man, you need to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And he doesn't want that to just be a task. He wants that to be our desire. Our desire. And I truly believe you have the desire for that, you wouldn't be here today. Amen? You're just not quite sure sometimes how to do that. And how do you love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind? Well, I'm glad you asked. Follow Jesus. Let Him encourage us. Let Him correct us. But the second part of this, he said, now loving God with all your mind, heart, and soul is the greatest commandment there is. But the second one is like this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. This is Jesus of the Bible. You shall love your neighbor
as yourself.
Wow. David's shaking his head like, you don't know my neighbors. I live right beside you, you don't know mine. No. Again, this Jesus that we follow says this. It's not a request. It'd be awesome if it was a request. Hey, if you get a chance, love your neighbor like you love yourself. But he says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And I know some of you say that is why I built my house out in the middle of nowhere. I have no neighbors. You got neighbors. You might have to walk 5 miles to get to. That does not eliminate his command saying to love thy neighbor. You have to go farther to see him. If you're smart, you don't live on top of you. So the question is, who is your neighbor? Well, I'm glad you asked that question, Jason. We'll turn to another scripture here and see what the Master says. Let's go to Luke, the 10th chapter of Luke. And we're going to go to, looks like the 25th verse. Man, I can play solitaire on this thing. You guys keep on going. Hang on a second there. We're going to go to the 25th verse. I'm going to start there again. Yeah. Because he continues what he was saying in Matthew. And again, the lawyer was talking to him, saying, okay, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Wow. Now, who all wants eternal life? Okay. So this is really, really important when this instruction was asked. Some reason Luke breaks it down a little bit more. Luke was a little bit closer, maybe heard more of the conversation. But it says, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said again, what is written in the law? How does it read to you? And so this time the Lord said, hey, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, you have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live. Otherwise, do this, and you shall have eternal life. And we can stop right there, close your Bible, and walk away, and be really encouraged, and be not following Jesus, because you believe because of either the neighbor that you have, or the neighbor you don't have, you are fulfilling this requirement of God, and feel good. You know? You see, Daryl's always fighting with his neighbor all the time. Okay? Always fighting with his neighbor all the time, so I know he's going to hell. But me, I'm going to heaven because I have no neighbors. So I can walk away justified, feeling good about myself. Oh. And I'd be totally wrong. Think of that. Because Jesus goes on and talks to us, wanting us to understand this. In verse 30, he says, it's like this. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He was walking. And fell among robbers. And they stripped him and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. And by chance, a priest, a man of God, was going down on that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, the Levite also, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, who was on a journey, came upon him, and when he saw him, he felt compassion, and came to him and bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them. And he put him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the next day he took out 2 denarii, his money, and gave them to the innkeeper and said, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I return, I will repay you. Now, which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the robber's hand?
Nope.
And they answered, hey, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said, go and do the same. So, right away we see the religious man, the priest. Now, one of the keys here you have to understand is that this guy is coming from Jerusalem to Jericho. So, chances are, I really believe he's a Jew. Okay? And here comes the priest, who's a highfalutin at the time, and at this time, the priest wasn't good standing with God. The priest was, and we're not talking about Roman Catholic priests, we're not talking about this. We're talking about this time, this is why Jesus came. He got to the point where a lot of the priests was doing things contrary to the Word of God. Otherwise, they were shaking some people down. Okay? So you got to realize, now here, he's a priest, here's this Jew laying here long, so he got robbed. And I see the priest coming out. He can't do me any good. So what does he do? He goes around the other side of the street. Kind of like, I see no evil. You know what I'm saying? Like, and so later on, I would say, maybe back in Jerusalem somewhere, the guy says, man, I just got robbed or right alongside the street somewhere. And the priest said, well, man, I didn't see you. The guy said, it kind of looked like you. Well, wow, if I'd just known that it was you, I would have helped you. Now, the question would be, have you ever had time of need and someone saw you in need and they stepped away from you, they wouldn't come around you? But the minute you got back on your feet again, maybe doing well again, the next thing you knew, they're hanging around you and said, oh man, I didn't know. If I just knew you needed help. Ever been there? Wow. And I believe that's what was taking place there, because maybe when the guy got restored, pretty soon, okay, collection time's coming up. See, now you know why I smile at you guys the first of the month. You know? But so anyway, the point here is that this guy went clear out of the way to avoid this man. Oh. Now we look at the second point was a Levite. Also, he came to the place and saw him pass by on the other side. I mean, if you're ever going to get robbed, guys, make sure you cross the street and fall on the other side. That's where all your help is going to go by all the time, okay? But two people has passed them by. But the awesome thing here, the next person is the one from Samaria. Yes, and folks, I'm telling you what, Samaritan and Jews are kind of like Browns and Steelers, Ohio State and Michigan do not get along. They've been separated. Jews was better than the Samaritans. They had their nose in the air. So Samaritans would never, ever associate with the Jews. You ever know someone that they believe they're a lot better than you? And so you don't even try to associate with them because you don't feel put down. So you kind of avoid them. Well, this is what we have Jesus saying here. Because remember what he's talking about? The question was, who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? So here comes a Samaritan and he sees the one that man despises his race. Despises him for being a Samaritan. Laying there in a time of need, he's robbed, he's beaten, he's bleeding. In fact, there's a song there, Jericho Road, right, Carol? Yes. And the Samaritan stops. He does everything he can to help him. Bundles him up. Then he takes him to an inn, he takes him someplace to recover. Wow. He said, listen, man, here's a couple bucks. I'll be coming back through in a couple days. If it takes more than that to take care of him, I'll make it right with you. And Jesus saying, that's your neighbor. So it doesn't matter if you're living in the middle of the forest somewhere. You have a neighbor. Right now beside you here in church, you have a neighbor.
In broad terms, the world is our neighbor.
The world, yes, the world is our neighbor. And it's wherever you're going to go, it's your neighbor. And what the Master wants us to do, in every circumstance that we encounter, to bring His love and His peace. He wants us not to look at our rights, but look at the rights He gave us, that righteousness, and share that. I mean, I couldn't imagine how difficult it had to be. Or could be, I suppose, helping someone that despises you. But you know what? I know, I really believe that in Jerusalem, someday, there was a Jew saying, wait, not all Samaritans are that way. Let me tell you about a Samaritan. One of the lows of my life. And those who called me to be my friends bypassed me. That Samaritan, the same one that I insulted, the same one I make fun of, the same one I wouldn't let sit beside me in a restaurant. There I was in need, they stopped and helped me. I mean, the Samaritan, let's go back to the old 10-3 years ago. If Tim was a Samaritan and you're the Jew, Tim would not cross over the street. No, you're like passion, kicked you a few times. You know what I'm saying? Because you had it coming. But there's a change in your life. You don't do that. And that's what the Master's doing in our life. To recognize that. I couldn't stand there. Tim couldn't stand there kicking you and saying, come to Jesus! Come to Jesus! Come to Jesus! What would you think?
I hope you hurt your foot.
I hope you hurt your foot. Would you want to come to Jesus?
No, no.
No, you're right. You know what I'm saying? Your response was correct. No, hey, Jesus loves you. Come. Can you imagine? Could you imagine today kicking you and then tomorrow trying to convince you to come to church with me because Jesus is awesome. He changes our life. Wow. Which Jesus do we follow? Do we follow the Jesus that we've made up in our own heart because, yeah, but I have the right to do this? I have the right to stay mad? I had the right to run my mouth. I had the right to get on Facebook and talk against my neighbor or my friend or my relative, my mom, my dad, my son, my daughter. I had the right. But by God, I'm telling you, next Sunday, I'm going to bring you to church with me. Which Jesus do we follow?
The Bible.
Then we got to put
the Bible.
The Bible in our life.
Yes, the Bible.
We got to look at ourselves. And again, He wants us to eat, to see, to check ourselves. Am I really following the Jesus of the Bible says, love thy neighbor when I'm trying to destroy people? Listen to Master. Look at it beat, whipped, and He's still loving. Until your neighbor drags you across your driveway, up the hill or down the road and nails you to the cross, we'll talk a little bit different. But he's saying, man, I'm depending on you to love your neighbor as yourself because you're my witness. And whatever you have belongs to me. So just because it doesn't go your way doesn't give you any excuse not to love your neighbor, because he didn't say, I suggest this to you. This is a commandment that you love your neighbor as yourself. And when we look at the true Jesus of the Bible, that's where we're at. To love thy neighbor as yourself. So first of all you got to do is love yourself. And when you look at Jesus, you can love yourself. Think of that. Don't love your past. I'm not saying to be conceited by loving yourself, you know. Don't carry two mirrors like Don Kimberly has. No. He wants you to love yourself. Because you're made in the image of God. You're being transformed into the image of God. You're not who you used to be. He wants you to be in love with yourself, that you'll love someone else who's unlovable, because you know that they need Jesus also. And people will step on your toes. I don't know. It's like the more you try to love people, the more they hurt you, right? It does, doesn't it? Amen. You're right, brother. It seems like it does because we become more sensitive. The more closer we get to Jesus, we know how awesome He is, that we want even our enemy to know Him. And I think we get more sensitive to the Spirit, and our heart breaks more and more. And we see, man, oh man, they are being so deceived and fooled. Oh man, I've been there before. And we try to share, we try to love, try to take care of it. Sometimes they think, oh man, don't judge me, don't judge me. I'm not trying to judge you. I'm trying to save you from where I just came from. But not taking it personal. But I'm telling you, if we're following the Jesus of the Bible, He's not saying we can't stand up for our rights. But we do it in a very loving manner. Hey, we might have a dispute, okay? Now, I'm not getting into the discipline of the church where two Christians come together. Christians don't take Christians to court. If we're following the Master, we come together and we reach an agreement. He's saying that, okay? If you're a Christian, I'm not a Christian, and we have a dispute, it does never give me a right. Never have a right to speak against you, to complain about you to the world. It doesn't. I would go to you, hey brother, hey man, this is really, really detrimental, you know. You're a youngster, I'm an older guy. Jason's my neighbor, okay? Hey, oh, knocking your door. Hey Jason, what's going on, man? How old are you? Oh, you're a young guy. Man, I know I'm an old man, but man, at midnight, I really love to sleep. And your music is so loud, man. Can you please turn it down? Because, man, if my wife don't get her 8 hours of beauty sleep, the next morning she won't cook me breakfast, the dog's by, would you? Now, Jason might say, get out of here, old man. Did you play your music when you were young? Yes, I did. My neighbors beat on my door. Would you put, no, I'm not, okay, all right. Next time, Jason, would you please? Never yell, never scream, never threaten him. I don't get on Facebook, oh boy, that Jason, oh boy, I'm telling you, that music he plays, blah, 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 blah. No, because my ultimate goal as a Christian is shine Christ's life, light into your life. But it doesn't say that I can't stand up for my needs. So it happens again. I call him. Hey, Jason, he says, no. Okay, well, brother, okay, man. Oh, you guys know what I did. That's a rotary phone. Okay. Yes, hey, this is Starkey. Hey, this is my neighbor, Jason. Man, he's a really awesome kid. But his music's so loud, I talked to him several times. Would you please send an officer to actually turn his music down? I know you guys are busy, but man, I can't get into sleep. Okay. And so the police show up. Hey, listen, Jason. Starkey said he called you a couple of times. We do have an ordinance in the town here. You need to turn that music down. So he turned it down. Reluctantly, he turned it down because why? You don't want to go to jail, do you? Okay. The next morning, I'm out there mowing my grass. Jason stops me. Hey, old man, what'd you call the cops for? Hey, man, don't get upset. I mean, I come to you several times, asking to turn it down. I just need peace in the house. But I'm telling you, Jason, I'm sorry you're upset. But I just need peace, okay? By doing that, he cannot find one thing offensive to me. Because I ain't yelling at him, I'm not screaming at him, I'm not cussing him out. I'm still polite. And I'll tell you what, tonight, if Jason cranks up his music again after midnight, Sheriff's Office, sorry to bother you again. Okay? But see, that's how I handle his neighbor. Now, you might reject it, you might yell at me, you might, but that hasn't any bearing on how I react to that. You might end up getting cited for a nuisance. No, okay? I might have to go to court and testify. But I go with a clear conscience that someday you're going to see, man, I remember I was a few years ago, boy, I just raising all kind of cane. And who was that old man next door? Starkey, yeah. You know, I wish I'd never done that now. Yeah, because he wanted to sleep on Saturday night. He went to church on Sunday mornings. And the reaction, maybe if he's got two neighbors, the reaction that I come through, shine the light of Jesus, compared to the other neighbor who flattened your tires, cussed you out, you know what I'm saying? Eventually, Christ's light will shine through. And folks, that's, we're following Jesus of the Bible, that's where we have to get to. And that's our desire, and like our brother said earlier, He's come a long ways. We all have come a long way. But we got to keep following Jesus of the Bible. If we don't, If you say, well, I know Jesus said that, but he didn't know my neighbors. Then we're fooling ourselves. Because, man, these difficult circumstances that we go through, he wants to use that to shine his light. And sometimes we have to pray, Lord, give me strength. He's really getting on my last nerve. But Lord, I want to witness to him. I want to be your light. Because God would want Jason to come to know Jesus as Savior and Lord. And it might even get to the point where I wear a headset.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Well, I could. I mean, we got to be led by that, you know. Or convince him to play country music. One or two. But he tells us, and again, that last part of verse 37, he wants us to go and do the same, to show compassion. And I mean, even when out of his way and took money out of his own pocket to help him out. So, I don't know, if I took it the same way a little bit farther, if Jason, let's say next weekend is really quiet. Not one noise. He's not even humming. Well, so I go over, I want to go over and thank him for not playing his music loud. Jason, I really appreciate it, man. I mean, thanks for not playing the music loud. I don't thank me. Why? I blew my speaker up. Well, I'll tell you what. I happen to have a set of speakers in my basement I'm not using. Come on over. And you use them. Now, I could rejoice, could I not? Hey, it's quiet. Thank you, Lord. I call it God intervention. He blew the speakers up. But look what I'm doing. It's not that I don't want you to play your music. It's just the element at the time that you played it. And I would imagine if I gave my speakers, I mean the honker ones, man, I tell you what, I could probably expect a little bit of compassion from my neighbor of turning that down at a certain time, maybe. But again, how big them speakers are, yeah. But you see, what a testimony that I'm not coming against you personally. I'm not coming against you because you're young. I don't really care for the music, but I just need it turned down a little bit. So, again, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, and it's not wrong to... All right, if you don't want to hear it anymore, go ahead and leave. Love you guys. Hey, have fun at work, brother. Happy birthday! Awesome. Praise God. I know I love embarrassing people like that. But as we follow Jesus of the Bible, we're not following Jesus who's stated to be the brother of Lucifer. We're not following Jesus who is Michael, the archangel, or simply a good messenger. We are following Jesus of the Bible. And when we hear his word, I know, but, and the minute we throw a but in with his word, we are not at that point following Jesus of the Bible. We're following Jesus who maybe he's got a good message. He's either the Son of God in our life, or he's nobody. He said, we've got to check us out. Am I truly following Jesus of the Bible? And Lord, just show me. Give me compassion, Lord. He will. Let me see you through the eyes, especially as older folks, let me see you through the eyes of the youth. Huh, Josh? As old people need to start looking back. In a way. Not around me back here, but man, you ever get... I won't ask this question, but sometimes the older we get, the grumpier we can get. And if we forget that we all have different stages in life. So when he says, love one another, we love one another. Amen? Amen. Amen. Praise God.